Reading today is from Luke 11, 1 to 10. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and attitudes of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. A man was sleeping one night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and God appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. So this the man did, day after day. For many years he toiled from sun up to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that the whole day had been spent in vain. And slowly doubts came. He thinks to himself, "You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't moved." He begins to believe that the task is impossible and that he's a failure. These thoughts discourage and dishearten him. And then he thinks, "Hey, why kill yourself over this? I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough." So that's what the weary man planned to do. But first, he decided to make it a matter of prayer and to take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he prayed, "I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I've not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing?" The Lord responded, "Wait a minute. When I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all of your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you've come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. Really? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back sinewy and brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown. You have grown much. And your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yes, you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to have faith, to trust in my wisdom. That you have done. And now, my friend, I will move the rock. Our title today is Persistence in Prayer. John Wesley said the following about prayer. Prayer is where the action is. E.M. Bounds said this. Prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in the closet. William Law said these words. He who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of a holy and happy life. And Martin Luther said these words. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. We're in a sermon series on prayer. Jesus taught us that prayer is really important. And so we're looking at different aspects of prayer. And as I've said, today we're looking at persistent prayer. We know that Jesus prayed often. Today's reading started. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When Jesus was baptized, he prayed, it tells us in Luke 3. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he prayed. One of these days, those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before Jesus was going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, Jesus prayed. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. The scriptures tell us that Jesus prayed often. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. At the beginning of our reading today, when Jesus had finished praying, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They realized that praying was important. Now, there have been a number of revivals across the world when God's Spirit has really flowed and people have turned to Christ. And these revivals have always followed a time of regular, persistent prayer. The Archbishops of Canterbury and the Archbishop of York, Justin Welby and John Sentamu, recognize the importance of prayer and persistent prayer bringing about a change in people's lives. That's why they launched Thy Kingdom Come, the prayer initiative that started last year. Let's listen to a clip from the Archbishop of Canterbury now.
There's a lot about this job that stops you getting too self-important. I remember being at some event, one of my colleagues heard someone in the crowd whisper, "Isn't that the Archbishop of Canterbury over there?" And the person's friend hissed back, "Nah, too short." When I meet Jesus Christ at the judgment, I know one thing. He isn't going to care what size of archbishop I was, or I think whether I was an archbishop. What matters is that I loved him and sought to follow him, and above all, that I trusted in him alone for my life and my future. Because the most important thing I've ever done is to become a follower of Jesus. I took my first steps with him about 42 years ago. Over those years, he's been a faithful friend, a sovereign Lord, compassionate, forgiving, my ever-present saviour, everything in my life, the heart and foundation of all I am. Through the hardest and most painful times, and in the best and most joyful times of my life, Jesus has walked alongside me. He's never left, even when I've wanted him to. When I felt ready to give up hope, he picked me up, and it's his love that has healed me and strengthened me. Following Jesus has been the core point of my life, and that's one reason I want everyone to hear his voice calling to them and to learn what it is to find his love, his call, his direction, his purpose. That's why I'm pledging to pray for more people to know the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm asking you, along with every Christian community around the world, to join me in pledging to pray as part of Thy Kingdom Come.
As a church, we'll be taking part in this initiative again this year. Last year, we gave you all a prayer bracelet encouraging you to all pray for 5 people to discover Jesus' love for them. And the leadership team at CSK believe that prayer makes all the difference. That's one of the reasons we have this wonderful prayer space and a 30-minute time of led prayer each weekday. Led prayer is at 9 a.m. on Mondays and Fridays, 1 p.m. on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and in the evening on Thursdays upstairs. Meeting upstairs because usually worship practice is here. We chose different times for the led prayer, morning, lunch and evening, so that hopefully there'll be at least one time each time during the week that every member of the church could come and join in with. And if you haven't come yet and met with God in this space, can I encourage you to make prayer a priority this week? If you come to led prayer session, you don't have to pray out loud. Church is open Monday morning and Tuesday to Saturday, every time Chimes Coffee Shop is open. And much time and thought, and indeed prayer, has been put into creating this space and the different activities you can take part and engage in this space. So please do make use of it. Can I encourage you all to make prayer a top priority this coming week, whether it's here in this space or elsewhere? So back to our Bible passage for today. According to our text, Jesus wants us to pray with persistence. This is what it said. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Jesus is saying, push. Pray until something happens. Push. This is what Jesus says further in that passage. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Push. Pray until something happens. Michael and V. Oyedeyi know what it is to pray until something happens. Michael, would you please come and join me here at the lectern? Michael, can you tell everyone what your profession is?
I'm a senior mental health nurse.
And where were you working as a nurse on the 19th of August 2015?
Norfolk and Suffolk Foundation Trust, NHS Foundation Trust.
And can you tell everybody what happened on that day back in August 2015?
An accusation was made against me by another member of staff.
So an accusation was made against you, so did an investigation then take place?
Yes, and the hospital investigated and they came back no case to answer.
So the hospital said, You were innocent.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Then the person reported me to the police. This was in, I think, October 2015.
Right. So I know that the police investigation started. Mm-hmm. You were interviewed, I think, in December, yeah. And then you were arrested with 6 allegations against you. Is that true?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
But only one of the allegations that was made against you went to the Crown Court some 16 months later on the 1st of March last year, 2016. Yeah. And then what happened on the 1st of March that day?
When it actually happened, the result was the 1st of March. The 2nd of February this year.
Oh, right, sorry, yeah, so, my mistake.
Yeah, so 2nd of February 2017, there was a verdict that came back, all jurors, 12 declared unanimously not guilty.
So all 12 declared you not guilty.
Correct.
Michael, can I ask you what your prayer life was like during that period from the first accusation in August 2015 and then until you were declared innocent?
We prayed often, frequently, mornings, evenings, any time of the day, any time I had space to pray. At night, sometimes Friday nights, praying overnight, waking up at night, just basically when sometimes it's when your mood dips or when you feel that, you know, you need to encourage yourself in prayer. Opportunities to pray with my wife, pray with other children of God.
So basically, it sounds like you were practically praying every waking moment, morning, noon, and night. And during the night, did you say you were praying, yeah, praying all night?
Yeah, I was praying at night, and sometimes waking up at night to pray. Sometimes, as I said, Friday night, I'd regularly pray with a particular person and for a few hours, and some others would join, and we'd just support each other in prayer and encouragement. Yeah.
So I'd describe that as pretty persistent prayer.
Yeah, it was persistent, constant, and every situation, we took it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah.
Brilliant. Can you share with us just one thing that God perhaps showed you or said to you during this persistent time of prayer?
That we should look unto Him, and that we shouldn't look unto the physical reality or what's going on, and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And just know that of His power, and that you know, He will do what He said He would do. I think in Numbers 23:19, the Bible says that, you know, God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of God that He should repent. If He says He will do a thing, surely He will do it. And if He has spoken, surely He will make it good. So it's just holding on to that. God will do what He said He would do. And I used to hold on, I think, Romans 31, where it says, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, that if God be for you, who can be against you? And just knowing that there's God's report and there's men's report, and just keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because every time you looked at the physical reality of what was going on, you'd crumble, basically. So
you knew from the way that God was speaking to you that He was going to show the truth,
yeah,
that was going to set you free?
At every stage, there was battles along the way. Every battle was won. There were several battles. If it wasn't me trying to get, you know, legal aid for a barrister, it was, you know, I've denied almost 12 times. So it's just different battles along the way, whether it was the NHS trust, whether it was my work and so forth, not working as a nurse for, you know, almost a period of 11 months. So.
Great. And as you know, many of you know, that during this period of time, Michael's wife, V, had a miscarriage, then went on to give birth the same year to their beautiful daughter, Rachel, who we dedicated here 2 weeks ago. God really carried Michael and his family during that long battle as they leant on Him in prayer. And there was only a couple of people here in church, weren't there, Michael, who actually knew the battle that you were fighting. They came here week after week, continued to worship God, and because of their persistent prayer, they knew that God was with them and that He was going to set them free. Now, there's loads more to your story, isn't there, Michael, of God's goodness during that time. So what we're doing is on our second Sunday at 6:30 service in April, that's next month, here's an advert for it, Michael's going to come and share more of this story, more of the testimony, more of what happened during that long period of 18 months. Will you give him a round of applause? Thank you. You see, when everything seems to be against us, and everything seems to be going wrong, we need to push. Pray until something happens. Prayer is not passive. We have to choose to pray. And God hears us when we choose to pray, and he answers. When your job's getting you down, just push. Pray until something happens. When people don't react the way you think they should, just push. When your money's gone and the bills are due, pray. When people just don't seem to understand you, push. Pray until something happens. Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock. Ask to acknowledge our need of him and be ready to receive his transformation. To seek, become an active partner with him in our lives. To knock, to be ready to welcome and go through God's open doors. Will you pray with me? Father, Jesus told his disciples that when they prayed, they should address you as Father. Father, thank you that you know every single one of us even better than we know ourselves, as you are the one who created us, who knit us together in our mother's wombs. Thank you that you are our guide and teacher. Please fill us each with your Holy Spirit. Help us to ask, seek, and knock, to keep pushing, praying until something happens, and to be obedient to the things you are calling each of us to do. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, your Son, and to his glory we ask these things. Amen.